All right, well, let's take our Bibles this morning. I promise not to preach long. I told Kirsty you'd probably have 15, 20 minutes to teach her Sunday school lesson downstairs. So turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Appreciate everybody who's been praying for me about this cough. My voice is actually coming back. You know, last week I was told that I sounded like Donald Duck when I was preaching, but my voice is back a little bit. But this cold just wants to linger and not leave. But that's okay. We'll put up with it, and it'll be gone soon, I'm sure. But Isaiah chapter 55 is what I want you to turn to this morning. And we'll be reading verses 10 and 11. I knew this morning, of course, that Bruce was going to be with us, and we'd be talking about the Word of God and how important the Word of God is. And if you were here last Sunday night, you know that I preached a message about the Word of God on Sunday night. We talked about how the Bible is unique, and we talked about what it's for and what benefits we receive by reading it and following it. But this morning, I want to preach on the subject of the Word of God again, but this time I want to preach a little bit about the power of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. So we're looking here at verses 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to look into the scriptures this morning. I pray you guide us and direct us through the working of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd help us to understand the lesson this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I used to know a man that was totally against coming to church. And no matter what his wife tried to do, she couldn't convince him to come to church. You see, as a young man, as a young teenage man, this individual was led astray by false teachers of what was supposed to be God's word. This young man was taught that the only way he could get to heaven was to follow the commandments perfectly. And he was taught that once you were saved, that you didn't sin anymore. And if you did sin after you were saved, then you really didn't believe in Christ and you weren't saved in the first place. Well, of course, nobody can live up to that standard, because none of us are perfect, right? Sinless perfection is something that's reserved for heaven, not earth. We're not perfect before we're saved. We're not perfect after we're saved, right? And that was not the reason God gave the commandments anyway. They were not given give us eternal life. The commandments were given to show us that we're sinners and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happened was, in absolute, utter despair at his failure to be able to keep the commandments, this young man just cursed God for being so cruel and left that church and never set foot in another church for 20 years. And when he did finally step foot into a church again, he wasn't coming in search of forgiveness. He didn't come looking for answers to life's questions. As a matter of fact, he came to God's house because he wanted to put his children in the Christian school so that they would receive a quality education and learn good morals. Well, after meeting with the school principal and enrolling his children, the subject of tuition came up. And the man was informed that if he and his wife joined the church, that there would be no tuition, because the church paid the tuition for the church members in that particular school. So that man decided to join the church just out of greed, just because becoming a member would save him a couple of $100 a month. And so, you know, why not join? But Before you could join that particular church, you had to attend membership classes for a couple of weeks. And these membership classes were basically just kind of a Bible information course. But it was during that Bible information course that something astounding happened. That man heard the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the biblical gospel that says that salvation is by faith in Christ and not by keeping the commandments. And this was something new to him, something different than he was taught as a young person. And after only a few classes, he began telling his wife on the way home how good he felt after each class. And he began to understand that God was not a cruel God, but a loving and caring God who sent his Son to provide us with salvation because we couldn't do it on our own. And what happened was, of course, the Holy Spirit began to work on his heart, and sure enough, he received Christ as his Savior. And you can imagine the rest of the story. As far as I know, that man is still faithfully serving God, very active in his local church, and that was over 30 years ago. His entire life changed. And you know, I think about that man often, especially when I read sections of God's Word like we have for our sermon text this morning. This man was brought to faith because God's Word is powerful and effective. It affects the heart and it feeds the soul. Now, here's a question. This is just rhetorical. No, don't have to answer out loud or raise your hand. How many of you here today can truthfully say that everything you ever try to accomplish gets done? And if you are getting everything done, how many of you can honestly say this morning that everything you accomplish turns out exactly the way you planned it every time? Now, of course, if we're going to be honest, we know the answer to that question. Very rarely do our plans turn out exactly the way we plan them. But you see, things are different with God. I want you to think about what the Lord is teaching us here today through the prophet Isaiah. Look at it again, verse 11. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." I have sitting here on the pulpit right in front of me this morning the most influential book that has ever been written. Of course, we know it as the Bible. The Bible has sold more copies than any other book in the world. It has been around longer than any other book in the world, and it has affected the hearts of more people than any other book in the world. And why is that? It's because the Bible is the Word of God. And His Word can really be divided into two parts that affect the heart and feed the soul. And those two parts are this: the law and the gospel. The law and the gospel. Now understand this. God had a very specific purpose in mind when he gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. A purpose that has been misunderstood by people for thousands of years. And the most common misunderstanding of the law is that it must be obeyed if you want to enter into heaven. Now let me qualify that and say that for the most part, that is a true statement. I mean, if you can obey God's law perfectly from your first breath to your last breath, if you can follow it to the letter, every minute detail of God's commandments and instruction, if you can obey every one of them that are given to us in the Bible, then you can gain eternal life. But unfortunately, that's impossible. That's impossible because we're all sinners. The Bible's clear about that. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And just a couple of chapters before this, in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And of course, you get over to the New Testament, verses like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so here's the misunderstanding. The misunderstanding comes along when we think that sinful human beings can obey the Ten Commandments perfectly, because we can't. We can't. Now, let me show you. Let's run down just a few of the commandments and see where we stand. God says, first of all, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So here's the question. Have you devoted yourself to God totally, 100%, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since the very first breath you ever took? Is God the very first thought on your mind when you wake up in the morning? Is he in every thought that you have throughout the day? And is the last thought you have before you go to bed at night a thought about him? Now, if we're going to be truthful, the answer is no. Well, guess what? You just broke the first commandment. You broke the first one. Now, the second one says this, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Have you used the phrase, oh my God, lately? Or maybe phrases like, oh God, or my Lord, or something like that. Listen, if you're not using God's name to give him praise and thanks, or to pray to him, or to witness about him, if you're using his name lightly and loosely and flippantly, then you are breaking the second commandment. So I need to go on? These are only the first two, and we probably break both of these before we've had our first cup of coffee in the morning. Folks, when we compare our lives to the mirror of God's law, we see that we fail terribly. But guess what? That was the purpose of the law. God's purpose for the law was not that we keep it and gain eternal life. Rather, his purpose was to show us that we're lost and we need Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul talks about this. In Galatians 3:21, he says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. And in his letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Then he says, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. See, the law shows us our sin and convicts us of our guilt before God. It deeply affects a human heart and inspires in us the fear and dread of God's anger, and points out very clearly that because of our disobedience against God, we deserve nothing but his eternal condemnation. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Right? If that's all there was, then it would look like God was playing a very cruel joke on us. we would be crying out to God and saying, why, God? If you knew that we would never be able to keep the law, why did you give it to us? Because all it does is condemn us to hell. Why, God? But thankfully, God hasn't answered that question. The question as to why he gave us the law. He says, I gave it to you so that you would see your need. So that you would see your need for the Savior. So you would see your need for the gospel, the good news that Jesus shed his blood and died in an old rugged cross to pay the penalty for our sin and then rose again the third day so that we could have eternal life. See, the gospel has a different purpose than the law. It proclaims to us the sweet message of forgiveness. The Word of God doesn't just contain the condemning law. It contains the forgiving gospel. The gospel gives life. It feeds the soul. The sweet, refreshing message of the gospel showers down upon human hearts that are heavy and burdened and afraid and assures us of God's solution to our eternal problem. The refreshing gospel speaks to us of Christ and how he lived in our place as our perfect substitute, keeping the law perfectly because we could not. And the gospel tells us how Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, how he rose from the dead on the third day to show to all the world that sin had been paid for. The refreshing gospel sweeps away our doubts about life and our fears of death, and it rains down onto us the sweet comfort of forgiveness. When we believe the gospel, it gently speaks to our soul, and it says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. The gospel tells us that our relationship with God has been restored through the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We can now call Jesus not only our Savior and Lord, and of course he is that, but we can also call him our brother, we can call God our Father, and we can claim a place in his eternal family, all by faith. In Galatians 3:26, it says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that wonderful gospel goes into all the world with the embracing message that God, our Heavenly Father, desires that every single human being on this planet should know his love and repent of their sin and believe the good news and be saved. And that is the main message of the Word of God. And when we believe that word and we receive Christ as our Savior, then what happens is then that refreshing word of grace that fills our hearts with joy and sweetens our life with promise, it keeps our faith in Jesus strong and growing. When human beings are exposed to God's word, something has to happen. How do you know that? Because of the promise. God's word will never return to him void. It always produces the result that he has planned for it, and it achieves the purpose for which he sends it. And I have to tell you this, that's very encouraging to me when I climb into this pulpit and proclaim the word of God to you. I know that it has to have an effect. Not because of any power or persuasion on my part, but simply because of the inherent power of the word of God to accomplish exactly what God wants it to do. The gospel will touch hearts. The gospel will change lives. And God guarantees it. God guarantees it. And so I say to you this morning, cherish the gospel. Cherish the opportunities to drink deeply from the delicious, refreshing word of God that brings so much delight and peace into our lives. Cherish the opportunities that you have to be in God's house and drink from the wells of the word as you hear it taught and preached. Cherish the opportunities that you have during the day, during your own time of Bible reading. Cherish those opportunities to spend time digging into the Word of God. Cherish the opportunities that you have to gather your family around the kitchen table for a word of devotion and prayer. And cherish the opportunities that you have to take the powerful word of God and the life-changing message of Christ and share it with others. Cherish those opportunities. With Jesus as your Savior, with God's word rooted in your heart and governing your life, with faith that is strong and growing, you will see how powerful and effective the word of God is, and how it truly achieves the purposes for which God sent it every single time. You will experience firsthand the fulfillment of this promise. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for this opportunity to consider the power of your word to change people's lives. Lord, we thank you that you've given us this blessed old book, and we thank you for the work that it does and how powerful it is. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the law to show us our need for the Savior. Lord, how would we know we're sinners if we know we're breaking the law of God? So, Lord, help us to appreciate that, but even more so, help us to appreciate the great love that you showed in sending your Son to be our Savior. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room this morning that does not know Christ in a personal way as their Savior and Lord, that today would be the day when they open up their heart and receive him, this one who can forgive them and give them everlasting life. And so, Lord, don't let anybody leave here today without being absolutely sure that Christ is in their heart, that their sins are forgiven, and they are on their way to heaven. And then, Lord, renew our zeal for going out and telling others about this great message. Lord, help us to take seriously our theme for this year of letting the redeemed of the Lord say so. Help us to be faithful to it, because all around us, as we go about our daily lives, there are people who are desperately in need of Jesus. And so help us to proclaim his name wherever we go. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.